I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am so glad that you are hanging out. I'm still hanging out, and I haven't made anybody mad yet. Well, if I have, you came back for more, so that's how it works. That's all good stuff. Well, listen, today I'm very, very honored because I have a special guest. And this gentleman, I actually haven't had a conversation with him like we're going to have today since I was a teenager, because he's my boss. He was the first man to hire me in the radio business. And I was about 16 years old. I was still in high school when I would get out of school to go work. And so I found him on Facebook, and we hooked up, and I said, listen, the very minimum, I owe you to put you on my blog, and I hope you'll come on. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you my very first boss ever, Mr. David Moran from Salem, Virginia.
David. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Karen. I'm originally from Salem, Virginia, but now I live in my address is Smith Mountain Lake, Virginia. I think you might remember that. But anyway, I'm sitting here overlooking a beautiful lake. The sun is shining, and God is good. And thank you so much for remembering and having me on today.
Oh, absolutely. It has been a long time. I got to ask you some questions. And feel free to be blunt, David, because you know what? I've told everybody about myself, the good, bad, and ugly. And that's kind of my way of taking things that maybe didn't turn out the way I thought they would and making them lessons where someone else wouldn't have to struggle that might be coming up behind me. So when I ask you this question, I know you're probably going to say some good things, but tell me absolutely the truth, what your impression was. I want to take you back to when I first came in and I met you, and I was about 16 years old. It's very rare that somebody would entrust a teenager with a live radio show and radio programming, but you did. And I would first of all just like to know why, what you saw in me, and what made you do that.
Well, I think that at that time it had a lot to do with the nature of broadcasting at the time, Karen. We're talking probably about 83, if I'm correct, somewhere around in there. And in those days, radio stations were mostly locally owned and operated, and radio stations were staffed mostly by live people. And so when you came in the door, I see someone who is young, who is full of ideas, who is energetic, who is a good person. And I've always, most of the time, not all the time, but I've been able to see that in young folks when they were starting out. I'm so blessed with that, and I've been honored that so many folks like yourself have gone on to bigger and better things. But at that time, it was personalities and radio, and radio stations were locally owned and operated and had their finger on the pulse of the community. And sadly, those days have long gone, and so that's kind of a bad thing. We've lost the local touch in broadcasting, and that I don't know whether you remember, but one of my Dave's 10 rules of radio is that you always have to make money and have fun, and somewhere along the way, the fun diminished because one was just as important as the other in my mind. And it's just such a shame now that broadcasting is owned by a handful. The major part of broadcasting is owned by a handful of corporate giants, and they've lost the local touch. So I get off my soapbox now.
Well, that's okay, but it's kind of like that with a lot of things. I mean, you know, with where you shop, where you go to church. I mean, everything's gotten mega. But hey, boss. Ironically, I need for you to get a little closer to the microphone.
Okay, I can do that. Okay, I've worked around microphones before.
I never thought I'd have to tell you that. But
is this better, Karen?
Yeah. I just get you right on that mic.
Okay,
well, I understand that things were a lot different back then. You know, I was always beside myself when you offered me, it was a daytime station at that time, and you offered me pretty much full time when the hours were available. And, you know, I really appreciate that, because even though I understand the structure of how broadcasting was at that time, you still didn't have to hire me. I mean, there were a lot of people who were, you know, older, more experienced, but man, you kind of took me under your wing there and showed me the ropes, and you gave me a lot of advice. And for whatever reason you did that, I certainly appreciate that, because now I'm all grown up, very much so. And, you know, I'm looking back when I can't believe you gave this kid a chance. And so for whatever reason, I just want to say thank you for that. But, you know, I don't know if you remembered, I quickly briefed you when we were in pre-pro about, you know, what we wanted to talk about. And you were constantly expending great advice. And I don't know if you were just talking out loud or what you were doing. But one of the things I remember, I want to bring to your attention. And I was a teenager in high school, and I was working three jobs, actually. And one of the jobs I had was with you at the radio station. It was a little daytime AM WKBA, and you had purchased it at that time. And so I was busy, and I was just in go mode. I mean, I grew up in very less fortunate situations. I think you know that. And I was going to do whatever it took to get out of it. And you were part of that picture and that programming for me. And so I actually had family members on my mom's side from Japan come visit us. And we had this outing that we had planned at, I don't know, Peaks of Otter, one of those local attractions there. And I worked right through it. And when you found out about it, you actually reprimanded me. You said, why didn't you tell me you had family in? You said, this is what you said, girl, these are moments you will never get back. And you're going to regret it because it's gone. And you know what? You're right. I have regretted it because I didn't get to spend time with relatives that I never saw again because they were from another country. And, you know, that kind of resonates with me today that, you know, if you don't take time, I know you want to get ahead and I know you want to do good things and do great, but you've got to take time. Can you tell me what you learned about that and how you learned about stopping and taking time for stuff?
Actually, that's a good question. I've never thought about this before. I would say there were a number of events that happened along in my life where, you know, I someone would pass away or an accident would happen, and I would say to myself, oh, you know, I wanted to tell him or her about that, or, you know, and now I can't. And I still feel that way today, and I'm not very good at it, but I still try to make an effort to see people and also tell them how I feel about them. And that's kind of the way I was back then, and I think that would be mainly because of my mom and dad. My dad, I always called him a promoter. He was a floor finisher by trade.
I remember him.
Sure, yeah, you do. You spent some time with him when he would work at the radio station.
Yes, I used to do his shows. I used to run his shows. We'd get on live. This is live radio and do these shows, you know, from the seat of our pants, literally. That's the way it was back then.
Absolutely, absolutely. But my dad was a promoter. He was always had something going, and I'm the same way. My kids, grandkids are the same way. And I guess back then, when you walked in the door, I saw, wow, you know, this is someone who will listen. You know, there's a real shortage of that these days, and you know, here's someone would listen. And just like the example you brought up, you know, that stuck in your mind, and that was so good. And I'm so happy that I said what I did, and it's a part of me being who I am, and that I want you to remember this. This is a moment. Live in the moment. And the reason for that, as I said, I would have to put down to my dad and his example.
Now let's go back, because when I knew you, I was a teenager, and you were I'm going to say 30, somewhere between 30 and 35, a business entrepreneur, and you literally had bought that station somewhere in your early 30s, I think, that if I'm correct.
You're off. I actually bought it when I was 39. And
Okay. Well, you were in your 30s somewhere. You looked pretty young. So,
thank you.
Am I correct, David? Do I remember correctly that you're a war veteran? I mean, you are a military veteran.
I'm a military veteran, but certainly not war and whatever.
Okay.
But yes,
I think I remember that. I remember that when you actually were purchasing the station, I had already been working there as a part-time teenager, and you purchased the station, and everything conveyed to you with that station. And I'll never forget that there was a coffee mug that had the station's call letters on it, WKBA 1550, whatever it was. I was cleaning up. I was like, you know, we used to have coffee and we'd wash the mugs and people would, you know, get their coffee that came in and stuff. And you took your mug and go, don't touch this one. This is my $365,000 mug. This one goes.
I think I do remember that. I do remember the mug. Yeah, those were the days, but really and truly, I mean, it's just that was the attitude, not the attitude so much, but the atmosphere around the station then. And you'll remember, we were part of a team. We all worked together. There were a lot of laughs. We were making a little money and having a lot of fun. And in your case, I want to say this too. I saw in you where you could be an innovator and creative, because if you remember when we bought the station, at that time we weren't sure where we were going to go, and we tried some different type programming, and you were a part of that, and really I guess I would have to say, as far as I know, in this part of Virginia, you were the first person to play contemporary Christian music. I don't know and don't remember of anyone else at that time.
No, I think you're right. And if you can remember, the old timers, they didn't like that. For people who don't know, CCM was a format, and I think it still is a format, it's like Christian-based lyrics to more popular beats. And it was coming of age when I was a teenager, and the WKBA was an AM daytime religious broadcasting station. And so I would play typically when I walked in, and I had the time to play music. It was what they would call like a Southern gospel. It was, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a different format. It's almost like a country sound. And, you know, that went over big in that area. And then when you came in with the CCM format where it was more rocky sounding, you know, we got a lot of flack for that. I mean, there were times I felt like I must be a bad person for playing this music. But
no.
My generation liked it.
No,
you know what I mean?
Your generation loved it. And, you know, we did that for quite a while, if you remember, just in your portion while you were on the air. And that illustrates what I'm about to say. At that time, nobody knew a whole lot about that type of music, and you made it your business to find out. And so that's what I saw in you.
Oh, you're right. I mean, I was talking to the talent's promoters. I mean, they were coming in from Nashville just to be able to, you know, sell their records and do that kind of thing. You know, I mean, you made me the music director. You literally gave me that title, and I remember that. And I remember dealing with the people who were trying to promote these artists. They would come in. It was the whole spiel like any other radio station once that happened. So, it doesn't seem like it's that long ago, but here we are.
It's been a long time ago.
It's been a very long time.
And you know, it was so much fun then. And as I say, those were the days when you could be creative, be innovative. You could try ideas and new concepts, and then if they didn't work, then you would go to something else. I've always said, you know, radio is such a wonderful business in broadcasting, because our inventory is our time. And once you that time is gone, it's gone. That's the only thing we have to sell. And so you have to make the most of it. And those days were so exciting because that's what we were doing.
Well, and you know all about time. I mean, it seems like you're the one person that always kind of kept kept up with time in every way, even from the point where you'd say, listen, you're going to miss this time. That kind of advice that you would give me. And there were other things that you would say to me, but it was good, solid advice. And then when you tell me not to wash your $365,000 cup, I knew that it was coming from a place where, man, this was a stressful thing. I reached out and I did it. And you know what? Every time I look at this mug, I think of that deal. And at that time, I'm sure that was a really big deal that you actually purchased.
You cannot imagine that kind of money for me. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Wow. A real big deal.
Yeah, that was a big deal. And you pulled it off and you did it. Now I think, you were in your 30s. That, to me, that's young, that you went out and you did something like that at such a young age, even though I thought you were old then because I was a teenager. But I know that 30s, that's young. That's young to do that kind of thing. Well, boss, I'd like to ask you something. Now, this, like I said, this is the first time I've sat down with you and had a conversation with you since I was a teenager. Tell me, moving forward since then, what do you do now when things aren't easy? How do you handle these things with your understanding of having to handle time and being so time-oriented? How do you handle the struggles that come in life? What can you expense to me today about that?
Well, first of all, I'm a Christian and hope I'll be remembered that way. I try to make my decisions based on one question and have done this for years and years and years, and that is, will any good come of this? And if it says okay, then I do it, and I talk to the Lord about it. And that's just been a great yardstick or barometer for me in decision making, over the years. As far as where we're at right now, as you may know, I have cancer. I think they said about a 3% chance of living past 5 years when it was diagnosed in 2012. Well, it'll be 7 years at the end of this month. So with that, but through that period, I've had to make a lot of choices, and really it came down to time, and and it was kind of a good thing in that it made me aware even more so, of my time and the choices that I have to make. And so I tried to make it on, will any good come of this? Yeah, then I'm going to do it. So that's what I've been doing, and that's what I'll, continue to do because it's worked for me. I feel pretty good. I've met wonderful people, still meeting, caring just incredible people every single day. And that's just so enjoyable and precious to me. And, I'm still going through.
You are the man who knows about time. I mean, I've never met anybody who has always known about time. And here you are, like you said. And, Dave, I did know that you were battling cancer. I don't know the details. Do you mind telling me what kind of cancer, what stage they said you were in and that kind of thing? Because, you're 7 years now. That's pretty incredible.
Well, it is. It's kind of beating the odds. But, as I say, I mean, where I'm at right now is I got a bunch of. I just finished a bunch of radiation. I got a bunch of tests coming up, actually next week, and I'm sure they're going to be good, and we're going to go from there. It's I don't know if you remember or not, but back back in your day when you worked at the radio station, my mother used to call in every once in a while. And she would be sure to identify herself that she was my mother, so her song better get played. And that song was One Day at a Time. You remember that?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
I'm sure she said that she was your mother. I'm sure I played it,
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the song One Day at a Time. It was just in fact, here on my office wall, I've got the sheet music to that up on the wall. That was my mom's favorite song, and what a great guideline, One Day at a Time. And she used to say, yeah, because that's how we get it.
That's so literally time has slowed down to the point where you learn to take it one day at a time, because, you know, for someone like me who, like I said, even as a teenager, I was on go. If I almost feel a little guilty if I slow it down to that point. It's like I need to be doing more. This, you know, did I waste another day not accomplishing something? I mean, is that wrong to feel that way?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I forget who said it, but they said every day think of the five most important things you want to do, and if you accomplish two of them or maybe three, be thrilled to death.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you just have to prioritize, and, you know, another expression I use is time burglar. I'll get people want me to do this or ask me to do this or whatever, and I'll go, that sounds like a time burglar. So,
I like that. Well, I was just going to ask you, I mean, you're 7 years in on your battle with cancer when they only gave you a 5-year limit. Do you feel like you're on borrowed time, and how does that change the way you handle time?
No, I don't feel like I'm on borrowed time at all. I just feel like I'm on time, which we all are. I mean, you know, it's not borrowed time. It's just time. So, no, I don't feel that way at all. I just go forward and enjoy each and every day. I would be untruthful if I would say there weren't times when there would be a speed bump or two, and days when there's a speed bump or two. But by and large, I really do. I enjoy every day, and I try to be nice to people and try to avoid the time burglars.
How do you handle haters? I mean, you know, you started me in a business that what would I have done without you? You put me in a position that really set me on my way to do bigger and better things in the broadcasting career. But you know what? I've come across haters, people who hate for no reason. What is your advice to me? How do I handle people who are just haters?
Wow. It's hard for me to look at things, at that time. But there's still plenty of haters out there. And, you know, I just try to avoid them. Haters going to hate. And, you know, you can, if you try, I mean, certainly you always, I'm always trying to, you know, bring folks to church or religion or whatever. But in terms of maybe changing their political views, which is where most of the haters live these days, or they're not going to change. And, you know, the ones I feel like I just arguing with these haters, and I'm talking about the real haters, Karen. You know, that's a time burglar. You're not going to change them.
I like that. Haters are time burglars.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
I like that. Yeah, it's a different world where I was just telling my friend this the other day. I said it almost feels like, I mean, I don't think that I'm constantly out there, putting out that I am a religious person. Of course, I am very religious. You know, I was back then. But it almost seems like I feel like I'm wrong or I'm the criminal because I believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, it's something flipped here where I feel like, you know, I got to keep this personal and private and not talk about it. And every other religion in the world, including people who worship Satan, Dave, can go out and flag it and put it out there. And we've got to be, what's the word? We got to have religious tolerance. I'm sitting here going, what happened? I'm at a loss.
I can tell you in one word what happened. The internet. I forget who it was. It said, in the last century, it was big over little. This century, it's fast over slow. And now, I mean, generally, you kind of knew things that you learned. You knew where they were coming from. And now you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some crazy guy over on the other side of the world could very well do you damage. And we never had that before. So,
that's true.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Well, that's true, and I can tell you, I remember something you said, and I'm going to date us totally by this one, but I remember when I was in high school, you were getting ready to send me to take these special classes, because he goes, there's something out there that IBM came out with, it's a computer system, and it's going to change society, and I want to send you out to learn how to operate these IBM computers, because it's the wave of the future. Boy, were you right.
Yeah, I remember that, and I remember you teaching some of us a little bit about what you were learning. but those days, as I say, we had no idea that the internet and computers were going to be, you know, the big thing that I was told back then, and I was buying them, and all this is going to save you so much paper. Which turned out to be just a huge lie, and it's going to save you so much time, which turned out to be a huge lie, as far as I'm concerned. But the thing about it was, that was the end of, you know, the interpersonal relationships and the ability to look someone in the eye.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a lost art, and time is a funny thing, because I see what you're saying, because a lot of people would say, well, electronics definitely save time, but you're going to expend the time on something anyway. And so you usually just end up spending more time on electronics. I mean,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And antisocial networking.
Antisocial networking. I like that.
Yeah, there's nothing social about social networking. It's antisocial.
Yeah, that's true. And so it makes it very interesting when you got to actually go out and get a job. You know, you have to understand how to work. I try to tell my kid that all the time. Cody's 17. You know, I'm like, you know, you have to learn how to deal with people, even if you don't like it. Because ultimately, to be able to make your way in this world, you're going to have to network in one way or another. Don't care what you do, who you are. You have to learn to network with people. So he's actually, I'm making him taking a basic marketing class next year, even though he's all about physics and engineering and all that stuff. I said, no, before you get out of school, you take fundamentals of marketing and learn how to deal with people and do a business, because it's something, you're a skill you're going to need no matter what you do in life. So, that's
absolutely.
Me.
That's
me.
No, there's nothing better than looking someone in the eye.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, we don't have a whole lot of time, but some of the stories that I can tell you from dealing with live radio. Ladies and gentlemen, when I say live radio, I'm talking about people would come in the studio and I actually would point when they were on the air and they bought live time. And when their 30-minute time was up, I would give them the cut sign, you're done. I mean, that's live studio radio. That's what I started out in, and that's the way it was. With the programming at WKBA, and it was the greatest learning experience of my life to have to deal with so many diversities in every way, shape, and form. And I'll never forget, I got to say this one, David, because this one was funny. You know, obviously you're trying to make money and you're selling the time to make the money to pay the bills. So this one guy came in, he's really quiet, and you took him to your office and you gave him a contract and you signed him in. And then you had to give me the information because I'm the one who had to intro him and all that kind of stuff. So you gave me the info because he was going on live that day. He started his slot that day. You go, okay, this is the name of this guy. Here's his program. Are you ready? Here's the name of the program. You look at me and you've got this grin on your face and you're like, strong meat.
I remember that well.
I said, what? Are you hungry? What do you mean? Strong meat. He goes, no, that's the name of the show. You gave me the paper and you walked out the door. That was so funny. I mean,
I remember that. I remember that. That goes back to looking people in the eye, Karen. You have to look so many people in the eye.
Well, I mean, back then you bought the time. You could name it. You bought it, you name it what you want to name it. And that's what you wanted to name it. I had a biblical reference, no doubt. I mean, I wouldn't have picked it, but whatever, right? I mean, it was just
that's right. You know, but that was it. That was okay, and nobody had a problem with it. And we laugh about it today, and not in a bad way or a disrespectful way at all. But that's just the way it was. It was. So many things. It was a day-to-day thing. Every day when you came to work, you know, I never dreaded going to work.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, I didn't either. I absolutely loved what I did. And I'm going to have to close this out here, boss, but I do want to say thanks again for believing in this kid who came out of nothing from nowhere and, you know, setting me on a path that I took and ran with it. You know, and did pretty decent things with it. And, you know, where would I be? I mean, what if God put you in my life to help me? Because nobody else was going to do that. And maybe there's a divine networking where he said, okay, I've got Dave Moran here, and, you know, I'm going to have him meet Karen so he can give Karen a start and a chance to do these things. And now everything I want to do, I mean, you know, I had a pretty good run of everything, but I really do have the glory of God in my mind with these blogs and the things that I do. And it's almost like heaven knows, you know, like there's something going on that we don't know about. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, listen, I want to thank you, and I don't hang up because I actually want to ask you a couple of things that have nothing to do with the show.
Okay.
But
all right. Well,
I do
Karen,
want
just
to...
let me say quickly, I'm so moved by what you just said, number one. And number two, it's an honor. And I'm so proud that I played a small part in some way with who you've become. And I thank you so much for remembering me. And it's wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you. Thanks, boss. God bless you. Thank you so much. And we'll get you on again. Okay, bye-bye.